Hey Shane, Tim Shorts from Gothridge Manor. I love the music, man. Kind of reminds me of like a kind of an old 50s surfer kind of groove going on. Love that. Hey, if you want a story game, you go ahead and game story game. I've never done it. I've always wanted to try it. I have all, like the Dungeon World books. I mean, I don't know if I'd like it or not, but I've never tried it, so I don't know. And I know there's like, the thing about it, but it's popular because of a reason. It must be fun for somebody, and I'm kind of curious to see what elements that I could bring into my game from it. So you enjoy your white box game, man. It sounds like fun. So keep gaming, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, this is Matt from Matt Random. Story games? I think you need to define what you mean by story games, because I think sometimes we add story to our games and it not necessarily becomes a story game. But when you say story game, I think more along the lines of Vampire, The Masquerade, or even a bunch of those indie games, which I'm sad to say I've played many of them. I know, here's my OSR card. But, I think adding some story to the game is perfectly fine. Actually, I don't really care. I think whatever you want to do is fine. But, now I'm just giving you a hard time. But, anyway, let us know how it goes. I'd like to hear what your idea of story game is.
Hey guys, welcome to Gilligan's Isle of ADD. So I realized that I can't record a podcast with my tablet cover on. It completely screws up the audio. I guess the microphone is on the back of the tablet. So now I know. I spent 5 minutes talking and it was very weird and whispery. Anyway, my last show, I briefly talked about my old school game that might be a bit storytelling. And Matt and Tim phoned in, which I'll play shortly. And Matt asked me to define what I meant by story gaming. So it's not a story game in the sense that it's like Fate or Vampire the Masquerade or Dungeon World. It's going to be a straight up white box game that I'm going to do. And people can die. I'm entirely fine with that. I'm actually going to give them a few little mechanical options as far as inspiration from 5e, or I may give them luck. So we were kind of talking about that. I'm getting off topic already. Hence the Isle of ADD. Okay, so it's either inspiration, which we had a discussion about, and how it's nice because it allows characters to or people to sort of get into their characters and get rewarded for it. The other option that I was thinking about doing, which I think I got from James West, was to basically allow everybody to start with 1d6 plus one luck. And it works the same as inspiration. It allows you to reroll a die, those kinds of things. But I think I might stick with inspiration on this. Anyway, getting back to defining what I'm doing. So it's a story game. It's an old school done it's an old school game is what I'm gonna run, but it's gonna have an overarching plot. And I'm writing it out with pre-figured out things that are going to happen. So be a little bit less on the reaction checks and the morale checks, or at least to a degree anyway. I sent Matt and Tim my script that I have so far. So I guess the best thing I can equate it to would be like a Dragonlance adventure. And part of the I've written like that in the past, and it started out because I was when I first started kind of getting into role-playing games, I played a lot of like fighting fantasy, and that was there was an overarching plot. It wasn't just about, doing a dungeon crawl or, that kind of thing. Now, I've also just realized that I'm the old school player in my group because I'm 39, but and the oldest in the group. But I just really appreciate that kind of play. I just think that the care like the people in my group kind of want a little bit more to tie themselves into the whole situation. That being said, I'm still, they could die. I'm not gonna, let them not die. I'm gonna, I'm there. There's no negative. It's zero hit points roll saving throw. If you fail, you die. If you succeed, you know, you're at negative one or one hit point or whatever, and then that's it. So it's still going to be deadly. So what I've done, I basically, this is where the prep is kind of a pain in the ass, but basically wrote a scenario, wrote up some random encounters, but kind of what happens. They're sort of going to travel from one place to another, and there's a few things that are going to happen every day. But I'm prepared for if they blow holes in it and go off tangent. And I know that's going to happen because all players end up doing that. And I know my group is really into role playing. Like, they really, there's been times where we haven't picked up dice, you know, in 2 or 3 hours. So doing a more of a story orientated D&D adventure, I think is going to be much more up their alley and more satisfaction, I think, because for them, especially since we're probably only going to play like 3, 4 games and that'll be it, I think they're going to want to come away with a good experience, right? Something that they can talk about. So anyway, getting back to sort of random events and stuff, there's one sort of scene. I'm going to say it's sort of like a almost like a Pathfinder adventure as far as like, here's the plot, you know, and you can kind of do these things. And obviously, if other things happen, that's fine. But there's an adventure path, I guess. That's the best way I can put it. Which happens in 5e products and things like that anyway. So for example, there's one section where they're kind of going up a mountain to where they have to deliver some goods. And one of the encounters I had written was this sort of goblin raiding party. And they're all behind boulders, like further up the mountainside, and they sort of start with missile weapons, kind of tossing stuff. And obviously, they're not big enough to push a boulder down on the players, but and the player is going to be coming up the mountain sort of single file. And so I like my first thought was, okay, if they kill them all, or if they keep one, and then they kind of interrogate them, and then they want to like go and infiltrate their base or whatever, I can go and steal something like the Keep on the Borderlands adventure and just use that goblin cave, and it could be somewhere in these mountain hills, and that could be the tangent, you know. Then, so I think there's going to be a lot of that stuff that happens, that there's going to be like the overall thing, but if they kind of decide to veer off, I'm totally cool with that. Like, it's, you know, I'm just going to have to kind of fly by the seat of my pants on those types of things. So yeah, it's going to be an old school game, but there's going to be a story involved. So I guess I hope that answers the question, Matt. While I would prefer to just, you know, kind of here's home base, here's a bunch of stuff, you guys can do this, here's the rumors. You know, I feel like they want a bit more of a fulfilling thing. So c'est la vie. That's, I guess, what I'm gonna do. Yeah. And I think that's all that I got really for this whole, I guess this is how I'm gonna go about it. It's kind of like a, it's on rails. It's a Dragonlance kind of adventure. Like I say, I grew up with sort of reading those kinds of adventures and running those kinds of adventures. So that's what I go with for the time being. I don't like writing these kinds of adventures. I like writing these sort of open-ended, you know, you die in the dungeon, or here's all this effed up crap that can happen. You know, pick a hex and something can happen. But just one sec. I'm back. Chuck Thorin posted on the OSR Anchorites G Plus community. I think the question was, how did you go from a gamer to a blogger to a podcaster? So I'm sure I've said this before, but for me, I was a gamer when I was a kid, and then I took a really long sabbatical because I just didn't really have a lot of people to play with. And, you know, there's only so much fun sort of reading the books and then just doing nothing, or writing an adventure and just doing nothing. So by the time I was about 19 or 20, I just kind of let it go because I didn't really have a lot of people to kind of hang out with and play with. And this was sort of pre decent internet days as far as like trying to run a campaign. I remember doing it over like Terminal in like Windows 3 and or maybe Windows 98, whatever. It was terrible. It was text, and I did it with a friend of mine. That was kind of fun, but I really didn't game a lot until I got into sort of my mid 30s. And I posted this before, but my wife just like one day said, I wouldn't mind trying to kill some kobolds. I'm like, oh, okay, well, let me grab my D&D box, which for me, before I discovered the OSR, it was second edition was D&D for me. That was it. My books are yellowed. Like, I've read them 100 times. I've ran a bunch of stuff with them when I was younger. And I don't know where I found the term OSR. Honestly, I have no idea. It just sort of cropped up one day. And I started looking into it. And then I sort of fell down the rabbit hole of, oh, look at this cool thing. And look at this cool thing. And look at this cool thing. And oh my God, this thing is free. And this is super neat. And wow, this is this crazy community of people that are sort of my age. And some of them are a little older than me. And some that are a little younger. And they all like this sort of old thing. So my prior to me reading about the OSR, I, like I said, second edition was it. I didn't spend money on 3 or 3.5 or 4 or anything like that because I just wasn't playing. So it wouldn't have been, I mean, if I had a group going for the last 20 years, I probably would have got into all those games, but I never really did. So the old school appealed to me because it's like, well, here's the shit that I know, and shit that I can take. And it can be compatible with what I'm all like, what I already have. And then, so from there, I think the blog really started as a reaction, like a reaction to the OSR. It was just like, oh my God, here's this cool thing. I'm gonna post about it. Here's this other cool thing. I'm gonna post about it. Here's an idea I have. It's kind of lame, but I'm gonna post about it. And it got me really excited. It was like every day, it was like something in my head, like, oh my God, this is cool. Or this is a really neat idea. I hope maybe somebody can use this or, because I wasn't gaming a lot. And then that sort of progressed into us playing a little bit more. And I got my cousin-in-law into it and he's played in a bunch of campaigns now. He's played 5th edition, 3.5, old school with me, and 5th edition with me as well. And then I posted about this before on my blog, but he went on to teach a bunch of other people the game. So it just sort of like spitballed from there. So I'm not a grownard per se. I grew up with second edition and I just don't really need to move any further than that. I have fifth, but I'm still back and forth about it. I think fifth makes a lot more sense if you're a gamer who's been through, at least second edition, third, fourth edition, and maybe you're more of a new school DM versus an old school DM. But for me, there's a lot of parallel lines between second and fifth. I mean, there's certain things about fifth that are way easier to run. I mean, ascending armor class proficiencies are way easier than trying to do it in second edition. But I mean, I'm fine with second edition, or first. I would like to actually do a first edition game. I don't know. I completely got derailed. Okay, so and then Chuck had said, and how did you go from gamer to blogger to podcaster? I'd said this before. I just started podcasting because everybody else is doing it. So, like your mother says, if your all friends are going to jump off the bridge, well, are you going to do it too? Or whatever that stupid metaphor is. Absolutely. I don't mind doing it. It's a gray afternoon. I'm sitting in my bedroom, just kind of hanging out, having a beer and just chatting. So, I mean, it's an easy way to get things out of my head rather than typing them. I type really fast and a lot of times it's sort of rambly. The nice thing about blogging is that you can kind of edit your thoughts. But when you're talking, you just do the and pause and wait and okay, I've got an idea. So yeah, I'm enjoying it. I don't know how frequently I'm gonna do it. But I like to continue doing it. The one thing I did want to talk about was that on Anchor here, you can do a co-host show. So, and it seems we all sort of have our own random, here's our idea, here's an idea. Somebody brings up something that we should talk about, and then everybody kind of, does a podcast about that thing. And I wouldn't mind trying to do a show with somebody, if we could pick a topic and try not to let me get too ADD off topic. Even if it's a 10-minute thing, it might be kind of a fun idea to try. Just I know I got lots of buddies who live down south and our time zones are probably a little wacky, but I'm totally up for it. It's just a matter of picking a topic and figuring out what works for everybody. So, or somebody. So anyway, yeah, just putting it out there. If somebody wants to have a chat and do something, we can. So rather than just have this as a reply episode, I'm thinking that maybe I should put it out there like a ask a question thing. So just give me one second. So I guess here, I have two questions. First off, one, how often do you create a new monster instead of just finding some stock thing? And why? And then secondly, I've been thinking a lot about, well, the campaign I've been kind of writing. I'm going to have an artifact in the campaign, and it's a season stone. So basically what it's the thing that affects the seasons. It keeps everything in line with 4 months of fall, winter, spring, summer, whatever. And I've been kind of going through the 1E DMG and taking a look at some of the artifacts in there, which, by the way, there's some so much awesome in there. It's like crazy. Do you ever do create your own artifacts? Do you use the 1E DMG? Do you base them on something else? Like, I've always thought it would be kind of fun to do a new deck of many things because it's just such a fun idea. And you know, as soon as you hand a deck to players, they're gonna pull every freaking card. Like, you know they're going to. So, is there any other alternatives you come up with using a deck of cards like that? Maybe a different table per se. Yeah, just so if you want to get back to me on, do you create your own monsters? What are they like? What are they similar to other monsters? Are they built upon something like a troll or like their immunities or special attacks, that kind of thing? And just artifacts, like what do you do about artifacts? Do you have them in your games? Do you make them like these crazy things, or are they just sort of not mundane per se, but I mean they're magical. I guess it depends on the game, but yeah. So if you want to talk about that, I'm be curious. It's good information for me to know. So okay, guys, I am off. We're going to the craft beer section of the podcast. We're gonna go for a little 40-minute walk to Little Brown Jug and check out their beers this afternoon. It's a little gray out, so might have to wear a rain jacket, but c'est la vie. All right, guys, have a good night. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.